Hey, Bill and Gutton, welcome to Black Law Tribal Edition. Murumu here with you today. Go Baragalan, Nindal God's peace be upon you, wherever you are. May you are having a good time wherever you're listening to this. And Black Law Tribal Edition is the name of the program, and via the Yidinji broadcast service all around the world. And also thanks to Bumma Bipra Media 98.7 FM, which broadcasts on the Yidinji territory. And if you're listening to this outside of the Yidinji territory, it's probably via the National Indigenous Radio Service. And joining me today is Ganyara. Good morning. How are you, Ganyara?
Good afternoon. Sorry, yeah, it's a brilliant day.
It is afternoon. I'm losing the plot. But hey, listen, always good to catch up. There was some articles in the press recently about the Adani coal mine, and that there may be some sort of new blockages to that particular project by the traditional owners down that way. A very interesting development, or just more of the same?
Well, there's two things there. First of all, we'll look at the local lot there. They have no idea that they do have law and custom that is outside of Australia. It's not part of Australia, which is a really interesting concept, you know, because it's been acknowledged through the Uluru Statement that the law and customs that shows ownership of country is from a sovereignty that is coexisting outside of that of the Commonwealth of Australia. Yeah, so they understand that. They got one fundamental flaw, which is wrong, and they are using the Australian identity, the legal identity. So it's a bit more of the same, but there is something different there. And the one thing that is the same is that they've been seen legally and politically through the Australian-created person or the citizen. If they had gone to their original government or their original laws and customs and created legal identities there, that's a whole different ballgame. Because remember, the Commonwealth of Australia does not have any treaty or formal agreement with that lot of people down there. They got a treaty with no one, come to mention that, including our lot up here. So nothing has been ceded to the Commonwealth of Australia. So who give the right to the state of Queensland to issue mining tenements to the Adani coal mine anyway, to Mr. Adani? They had no right to issue mining tenements to resources that belong to someone else whose authority, whose sovereignty is outside of Australia. Now, that would be similar to the state of Queensland issuing mining tenements to some company to operate inside China or inside the US or inside Great Britain. Same. So it's all about jurisdiction, it's all about territory, it's all about resources.
It is, and the good thing about it is that there's still time to do something about it, because the sovereignty is never ceded, it's still there. And what we can say is that we would encourage them to keep going with it. If it's in their heart to do that, then so be it. It's one of those things now where we talked about the Wet'suwet'en. A lot of these things are environmental issues, because that land is sacred, and that people have some attachment to the land because they're from that tribal society, which is why it's such a really powerful and bold action to actually want to protect your territory. But it is a matter of simply knowing the jurisdiction and what capacity you're acting in.
Oh, 100%. And that's the problem. They are being seen legally and politically through the Australian ID. Simple as that. Now, a very simple remedy for that is to form a government very quickly. You can soon knock that up. We done ours under a tree. And that's where the old people authorised the establishment of the paper world for the benefit of that local society, that mob, just like what our lot did back in 2013. And then it's that lot that then can create the identity that you're seen legally and politically through. So the Commonwealth of Australia would know they're there, but they know they have no formal agreement with them. And then that would be nearly equivalent to an act of war against that lot for the mining to go ahead. You know, we'll go and plunder your... We'll send our military in to so we can plunder your resources. So, yeah, it's a very interesting situation that is developing there. If only they got the capacity of citizen in the correct status. And that can be very easily remedied. So, yeah, look, we encourage all Aboriginal people to stand up for their law and custom. You know, beyond all that, you need to do it. You have to do this. It is for your people. It's also for the interest of the Commonwealth of Australia, believe it or not, because what's going to give validity to the Commonwealth of Australia to be present upon the territories of all these Aboriginal nations that are all here? Now, we can't speak for that lot down there, you know, where this big coal mine's going ahead. They have to speak for that country themselves, and they've got to speak for it in the correct capacity, and they've got to speak for it through the correct protocols that they have for their lot. So our way is our elders receive information from anyone in the Yidinji area, you know, the younger ones or whatever, or those who aren't a superior. They tell the boss at the show, look, we're having trouble with this, or we want this to happen, or we'd like that, whatever. And it's them old people that then get together to determine what's best for the country, you know, what's best for the society of people. So it's through that system that we operate in, and most of them operate the same way. So if the majority of them said, yeah, we want the coal mine to go ahead, well, then they can issue a mining tenement from their government to the state of Queensland to issue. Queensland then can issue a mining tenement to the Adani coal mine, to Mr. Adani. So it is, that's the proper process to happen. But it's not happening that way at present, because the state of Queensland is just assuming there's the almighty power and authority on country all over. And we know the reality is, it's been proven by a number of court cases here, that they're not the almighty authority. When the judge says you're free to go at large, there's the front door. It then quite obviously is not within their jurisdiction. You know, if you're not one of ours, there's the door. So where do we go? We go to our law. And this is what we've got to keep doing all the time, all of us. And all the mobs must do it for the betterment of their own people and for the Commonwealth of Australia as well.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you wonder why Australia has made these native title determinations and why they signed UNDRIP. And we continually say it on this program. It is because all tribes, tongues and nations must come to this point where they have choices to make. And, you know, do you want to go back and reinvigorate your law to look after everyone? Or are you guys happy to stay inside the UN system? And that's where it's coming to. But not everyone understands completely. It hasn't been crystal clear for a lot of people yet. And that may take a little while. But we are hoping that it doesn't, because once you see the true value of the sovereign and the one that created everything, and the law that is comes with it, then it is actually there as a gift to protect everyone. And I think that's what's really wonderful about this process. With all the legal personalities put aside, you know, I think that everyone's dreams of a peaceful existence. And, you know, you see these movies where the old people are rocking back in the chairs and just having a cup of tea. You know, that's a beautiful image, you know. But knowing that you can live a full life and pass on to your grandchildren and all those things. That's where I think, that's what I think of when we talk about these things. But once again, that will become crystal clear soon. But until then, people will, whether it's inside of the Commonwealth or outside of the Commonwealth, will continue to make strides towards the pathway to a treaty or the pathway to peace.
Well, it's got to be a pathway to a treaty done correctly with the correct authority. Now, the state-based treaties are not the correct way to do it, because it's within the Commonwealth of Australia. And it's between Aboriginal Queenslanders and, you know, the state of Queensland, for example, or Aboriginal Victorians and the state of Victoria. That's not the right way. Because your sovereignty, the original Aboriginal sovereignty, is residing outside of that of the Commonwealth of Australia. So it's coexisting with that of the Crown, with the Commonwealth of Australia. That's where you have to negotiate from that sovereign level to the sovereignty of the Crown. That's the Commonwealth of Australia, period. That's the end of the argument. So state-based treaties are a total waste of time and effort and money. They really are. They're going to achieve nothing, And as one constitutional lawyer said it, never a blunter axe or a gaudier trinkets were given. And he's dead right. This was just a racket. It's just a scam. So don't fall for that. You know, it has to be with the top dog, which is the Commonwealth of Australia itself, or no one. Now, if you have the right to cede sovereignty, you don't have to cede anything, or you can cede the whole lot, or anything in between. It doesn't really matter. It's up to you, your lot, to decide. Our lot know how far we want to go, what we want to hand over to Australia, and what we don't want to hand over. So we know that already. And one thing for sure is the country's not up for grabs. The country's not for sale. But in saying that, if Australia don't want to take that treaty, what would happen if we issued it to someone else, to another UN member state? Think about that. The ramifications are huge. So we've got to all encourage the Commonwealth of Australia to do what it's got to do, and that is to enter into a treaty correctly. Now, just because you entered into one with the state, that means absolutely nothing, because it's done through the Australian identity, because you are using the Aboriginal Australian that's in your pocket, called the citizen of Australia, and the state of Queensland. So it's not done in the true capacity.
You could say the same about these ILUAs, Indigenous Land Use Agreements.
Absolutely.
All those things, I think people, whether they are supportive of that process or not, they may not be aware that that in the legal sense, it is a domestic form of an agreement. It has no nation-to-nation classification or application.
It's dead right. It's the capacity or status of the legal personality entering into that agreement. So as in, like you said, with ILUAs, everyone's panicking over, oh, we signed away all our rights. No, you haven't. You haven't, because it's your legal identity of the state that is the legal face. They didn't give you full disclosure for a start that your sovereignty sits outside that of the Commonwealth of Australia, so you could go there and do something. So the ILUAs are just a formal agreement between, in this case here, an Aboriginal Queenslander and the state of Queensland. So it's not done with the correct sovereignty. So you haven't signed away absolutely nothing. This is very important to remember. So I wouldn't go wasting a lot of time and effort arguing over ILUAs with anyone. I'd be more focused now on establishing what you want to call a government, establishing it under the correct protocols of the sovereignty that coexists with that of the Commonwealth of Australia outside of Australia, and establishing all the systems that you need to have in place for government, for self-determination, for administration, whatever else it may be. So you see, it's all pretty easy if you can get this identity thing correct in the first place, and that's the most important part. Identity, identity, identity. Who created the identity? With Australia, we like to be feeling part of something. And really, we really want to be part of Australia. Yes, we do. We have a right to participate in the life of the state, if we so choose. But also, we have a choice not to take part in Australia. And they can't force us to assimilate within Australia under Article 8 of the UN Declaration of Rights for Indigenous People. Now, that's a really important document. So we go all the way through UNDRIP to where it says, you know, native title determination. You know, Article 27, the state, which is the Commonwealth of Australia, must acknowledge the existence of any systems of law and authority and land tenure and all that, which is exactly what a native title determination is. If you read one and sit down and read it to the end, and the reasons for judgment, why they give the judgment as to the existence of native title, you'll actually be very surprised, because it quite often says that we come here today to give you nothing. That this land is already owned by a group of people who's outside of Australia, whose sovereignty is not part of Australia. So Australia didn't create the land title. The government didn't create it, the courts or anything like that didn't create the land title. So who did? The land title was created by the sovereignty of the people whose are exterior, who are not within Australia. And that's an important concept to get. So you it's acknowledged that you're there. So how far do we want to go with this? You know, how much more do we have to say?
Yeah, I think we mentioned a couple of things about UNDRIP there, and Article 5 says Indigenous peoples have the right to maintain and strengthen their distinct political, legal, economic, social and cultural institutions while retaining the right to participate fully if they so choose to put in the political, economic, social and cultural life of the state, that being the Commonwealth of Australia. Their distinct political, legal and economic institutions, etc., could be Yidinji, could be Gungalida or, Aranda, Japurong, Gunditjmara, all the different nations that we talk about. And Article 6 says there that every Indigenous individual has a right to a nationality. Yeah, you got a right to use an Australian one. They're also saying you got a right to use a Yidinji one. But that has to be created correctly. And furthermore, there has to be some sort of a formal agreement to allow the UN world system to be upon your territory. So it is an interesting one, Kanyara, that the world of personalities is yet to really be seen for what it is. But I think it's becoming clearer which with every day.
It sure is. You know, it's one of those things that are eventually going to have to come to the fore. It's out there. A lot of people are starting to realise that it is something different. They're starting to realise they've got to go that way, because all mechanisms inside Australia are limiting you to be an Australian citizen that has to obey all the laws of Australia and all the systems that are there. So in saying that, you can't complain when something's not going your way, because the Commonwealth of Australia must consider the interest of all Australians, not just the 3% or 2% that are Aboriginal or of Aboriginal descent. They must consider everyone's interest. And that's the hard part. You know, when everyone's interest is at stake, what say does the minority have? Very, very limited. So if you're only making up 2% or 3%, there are other ways you can have a say, and that is to go out to your government, to reform your government and talk direct to the Australian government, not go through any of the bureaucracy or bureaucrats that are down below, or any of the land councils or anything. Your real power lies forming government, talking to the Prime Minister of Australia through the recognised Minister for Foreign Affairs and Trade. And that's you have to create those positions. Everyone has to create them. Just like we did, you just have to do it. But our Minister for Foreign Affairs talks to the Minister for Foreign Affairs of Australia. Simple as that. And then that gets relayed through to the Prime Minister. That's why we go that way. There's no Foreign Affairs Minister in the state of Queensland, because the state of Queensland is not sovereign enough to enter into treaties or anything else.
Yes, you're listening to Black Law Tribal Edition right across the country today, thanks to the Unity Broadcast Service and 98.7 FM by Mooper Media. And if you're listening outside of the Unity Territory, it's probably via the National Indigenous Radio Service. We'll be back after the break.
Of our lives, and the mountains and streams Music Dal, a medicine. Music is the best medicine.
Music is the medicine. These beats got us out of control. Dance around like you never get old. Breaking and popping on my boys, pop locking. Got us feeling like we out of this world. Drink your mind to the end when battle like a growing alligo. School more in a number in a. If I need you to my little beat, could you make cool the middle in price school? Go hard, never lay back, lay back. To the real time, fake that, smile for the crime. Like, take that, shout out to the audience like way back, way back. You got stage fright? No problem. You got neck brace? No problem. You got two left feet, can't catch that beat. Take a deep breath, cause I got this, yo. I got the medicine. Music is the medicine. I got the medicine. Music is the medicine. Make a boy got fire in the boot. Never spit lies, only spit the truth. Got moves, got stuff to make it shake. Stomach grind so hard, I make an earthquake. I'm not Kendrick, but I'm humble. I'm bilingual, I don't mumble. People listen, but they don't understand. I'm just a brother rapping on the land. Go hard, never lay back, lay back. To the real time, fake that, smile for the crime. Like, take that, shout out to the OGs like, way back, way back. You got stage fright? No problem. You got neck brace? No problem. You got two left feet, can't catch that beat. Take a deep breath, cause I got this, yo.
Yeah, baby, free your mind. If you're driven for the vision, then I'm down to ride. Where the beat drop, there me, you'll find. And we still in the city, but the crowd going wild. Ooh. Yeah, keep it banging through the system. Light it up, start it up like an engine. Bars on lock, put the music freedom. And the booty drum, go put up a bum bum. Hey, okay, yeah, come. I get some of this, make it jump. Do it just to do it, and I do it till it's done. Connect with the sound, people over income. That's team, that's squad, get the picture. That's us, that's mom, if you with us. Just be, yeah, the queen is in the building. You better come correct if you're knocking at the kingdom. Yeah.
Okay, if it with us. Yeah. Okay, if it with us.
Just be, yeah, the queen is in the building. You better come correct if you're knocking at the kingdom.
Hey, welcome back to the program. You may have come across some very disturbing very sad news about a death of a child, a six-year-old child who had been, looking for help inside of a hospital and was turned away who suffered some serious bacterial infection and as a result of that died. I don't want to go and talk about which community and things like that, but I'm just wondering now, how do we stop this from a tribal point of view happening through a treaty? How would one talk to the Commonwealth to outline something to discourage from this from happening, or any other thing from happening, a death in custody? And it really does come back to the tribe outlining what it wants.
Oh yeah, look, this is a very tragic event that took place, and you know, when I heard about it and read about it, I go, holy gee, this shouldn't happen to anyone. It really shouldn't. You know, it was a failure of quite a number of things. But look, the biggest problem with the Commonwealth of Australia always, and I'll always say this, is always about money. We don't have enough money to build a good hospital. We don't have enough money to rehabilitate people. We don't have enough money to recycle rubbish or whatever it may be. It all comes back to the almighty dollar. And in this instance there, the poor young fellow there, it could have been that the hospital was underfunded. It really could be. That there was... I know there was an issue raised where it might have been regarding language, you know, that to... to be able to be understood, I suppose, the parents could understand what's going on, or that the hospital understand, or the boy, was that they spoke a certain dialect. And they said, the comment was made that over half the people at that hospital that worked there understood the local dialect. But when it was investigated further, none of the medical staff had any ability in that dialect. It was the gardeners and the cleaners that could speak the language, you know, which was really sad. But the doctor might not have understood what was being said to him, you know, how he felt or whatever. And why could they not employ a doctor or educate a doctor in the local language? It's because it's money. It's money, 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 money. All the way money, dollars. So that's just an example of that. You look at everything else. Look at the rubbish laying around the place. Why can't we recycle everything? It all comes back to money. Dollars, dollars and dollars. It's unaffordable. We can't afford it. We don't have enough money all the time. And yet Australia was built on the back of the Aboriginal people. It was built on the resources of the Aboriginal people. So why shouldn't the Indigenous, the Aboriginal people have the best of the best in the way of hospital? So when you present to a hospital, you are given first-class treatment like everyone else should be. We should be able to build the best hospitals in the world because it's built on our country, off our resources. So instead of having to pay us out under Article 28 of UNDRIP, let's focus that money that Australia owe into such things as hospitals everywhere, as schools everywhere, as the best of roads everywhere. You know, let's clean up the environment, the best of everything. And that would then ensure that we're living in perfect harmony with the world and with each other. Because the reason we fight and there's, you know, let's look at drugs, for example. Why are drugs out there? Because people are trying to find some way out of what's being forced upon them in the world of money. They're looking for this scapegoat. And we'll just, a simple dollar, for example, can I get some money? And I'll sell drugs, for example, and I'll use drugs, but I'll sell drugs. So the crime goes on because of money. It's all about dollars. And yet, we are the richest country in the world. We really are. So why couldn't that boy get treatment? Proper treatment was money. You know, why wasn't the doctor educated? It could be money. So many things, but that's just an example. That should have the best hospital in the world there. Just like here, just like anywhere where there's people, where people are, they should have the best of the best. So it's a really tragic case, but it highlights to me what the fundamental problem is when you stay within Australia. You know, it's just going to keep doing the same thing time after time after time. And nothing inside Australia will change until we get our act together and start doing what we're doing, and that is to rebuild the world over again for us, for the benefit of all humans, not only our lot, but all humans.
Yeah, I think it's made very clear here that you know, the Yidinji Nation would want the underwriting to continue, but it would be to improve all the facilities on the Yidinji territory. For the Yidinji Nation, for whoever it is, a French citizen visiting here gets stung by, you know, a dangerous animal or something like that. And basically, these are the considerations that the Janala Nyidinji, the Tribal Council of Elders, has made while going down this track. It's actually for the benefit of everyone on the Yidinji territory. And that's an important message to the world. That, you know, we do know the value of money. We don't really pay too much respect to it. And we know that it exists and there's a use for it. But at the end of the day, what's more valuable? And human life and benefit and enjoyment of life is 100% a priority for us.
Oh, 100%. 100%. And that's got to come first, is human life, you know. Not in saying that, not at the expense of rape, pillage and plunder of the earth, because remember, we've all got to live on this earth together. And we've got to be able to hand the earth on to the next generation in a condition that they can survive on. You know, we could rape, pillage and plunder today and leave it uninhabitable, you know, for the next 10,000 generations. So we've actually got to stop and look at what we're doing. And one of the Apollo astronauts said, yep, all politicians, all the leaders of the country should go out into space and look back at that little ball in space and reflect upon just how small it really is and how fragile it is. So we have to do that. We all have to do that. So we've got to curtail some of our extravagant life, you know, of having the 400-foot yacht out the front all the time. and living together. Because look, what affects us as the poor people also affects those as the rich people. You know, they're going to breathe the same air, be it polluted or not. They're going to drink the same water, be it polluted or not. Now, they can't escape this, what's happening on this earth. It's a ball. It's finite. It's limited. It's in space. You know, there's nothing else out there to go to. We don't have a plan B if we destroy this place. So we've got to look after this place to the best of our ability to hand on for the next, you know, however many generations are going to come.
Yeah, I think that's, look after it today. And that's a very important message. There is a real need for that, and you can see well before the climate change debate came into the picture, the Indian nation was very, very much a low carbon footprint nation. They left footprints everywhere, but not the carbon ones were minimal. But you know, at this same time now, we've got all this industry, and buildings and stuff on our territory, and that's a conversation. You know, what does a sustainable future look like? What technologies are out there? How can the Indigenous Nation help develop and foster that tech development or solution brokering to issues like the environment and things like that? But it is also important to have an excellent environment, but like you said before, you know, looking at these things about health, there's no use in having a brilliant environment if people are dying younger, and or if these other issues aren't being addressed as much as the environment. And that's one of the hard things about and good things about going down this track, is it may seem like it's impossible, and at times you think, oh man, the magnitude of this is, you know, but you just focus on those little things, and you'll find that experts from each area want to come and help you. And you know, that's a wonderful thing when you make that signal in terms of setting up a government, then you get other people coming in to try and help.
It really is. And once again, what you're talking about there is not having the limitation of dollars involved. So, yeah, this is where we've all got to head. You know, just to show you an example, look, there's been an argument going on recently about a flag, you know, and they were saying there that why should one bloke get all this money, this royalty money? But it's about the money. It's always about the money. That flag, by the way, is an official Australian flag. That's the red, yellow and black one. You know, the big dot on the middle, the big yellow dot. That's an official Australian flag. And when you fly that, you're actually saying, I want to participate in the life of the state. Because a flag on the back of a boat used to denote which law applied to that boat, which country's law applied on that boat. And it's the same in this situation. That's how flags operate. They show which jurisdiction you're actually in. So when you see the Yidinji flag flying, you're actually under the Yidinji jurisdiction. You're in the Yidinji law. And that's as simple as it gets. When you see the Australian one flying, the blue ensign, Australian law. When you see the Aboriginal flag, Australian law. When you see the Islander flag, Australian law. So which jurisdiction do you want to be in? Australia or in your law? Create your own flag. Don't worry about the Australian flag and the flag with the big yellow dot on it. Forget about that. That is a distraction created by Australia to think, for the Aboriginal people to think that they are something different when they are not. They are being enticed to hold an Australian identity away from their original tribal identity. So it's just the Pied Piper thing. Be careful of what you listen to. So over that debate of that flag, forget about the flag. Let the bloke who made the flag, let him get the money. It's all about the money, let him have it. Create your own flag. Create your own jurisdiction, create your own law. That's where real wealth is created. That's where real authority is created, back there. And there's actually no money back there. Believe it or not, you don't need Australian money to operate there. You operate in a cashless society because yous are the underwriters. The Aboriginal people are the underwriters of the Commonwealth of Australia. No ifs and no buts about it. And that was made very clear in the Mabo determination. That decision there, Mabo too. The Aboriginal people underwrote Australia. So why not do it properly this time? no money changes hands. Money is just a piece of paper that you believe has some value to it. It has some worth to you. You get this piece of plastic or paper, and that's all money is. So it's really a nothing. Forget about arguing over it, and let's get back to what really matters in life, and that's starting to take charge of the place, start to do the right thing. So that's what I keep saying to everyone. Now's the time. You know, you can't wait for someone else to do it, and Australia definitely can't do it for you. You just have to do this off your own bat, just like what we did. Sat down under a tree, no money was involved, we couldn't, you know. All the people that turned up to that original meeting had to put a few dollars into the tin so we could go and buy some beef and sausages to put on the barbecue. Simple as that. We don't have the big amounts of money that the Commonwealth of Australia would splash at a deal. Yeah, it was a good day though, very good day.
It's an Australian flag, whether it's got licensing agreements or not. It's all inside the Commonwealth, and let me just say that the Yidinji Nation has its own flag, and we're very happy with it. And it's 100% owned by the Yidinji Nation, and that's a beautiful thing. Gunyara, one of the you know, it is about the money, which is why we're saying we want to help with this treaty process without any money in exchange of Australian taxpayers' money. And you know, we're not interested in touching that or increasing the burden on the Australian taxpayer. Do you think people understand the significance of that or not?
Majority of people don't, because they're trapped inside the world of money, where you've got to pay mortgages off and you've got to pay loans back, and you go and work for a few miserable coins, and you beg and scrape for stuff. You know, most people don't own their house. Most people don't own the car they drive. The banks own all that. Until it's paid for in full, you don't own it, period. That's the end of the argument. And even then, they don't understand the currency of the nation, because when you go and buy a car, for example, you're using the legal identity created by the nation. And you're going to go and buy a land title that's created by the nation. And then you're going to use the money of the nation to buy that land title through the Australian identity. So do you own that? No, of course you don't. The legal identity owns the house, or that owns the land title, for example, you know, the right to occupy. So you own nothing. So there's an old maxim, what's owned by the slave is owned by the master. And who's the master in this case? The Commonwealth of Australia. So when you buy something within Australia, the Commonwealth of Australia officially own it. They effectively own it. It's their property. How do you think the police get the ability to take a car off these hoons, you know, tearing the road up? The car is held in a legal identity created subject to Australia, to the Constitution of Australia. The money they bought the car with is Australian money. The registration on the car is Australian ultimately, because, you know, it comes through a state, but ultimately it's Australian. The police have every right to take that vehicle, because you're just a slave. The car is owned by the master. And they have, if you're doing the wrong thing by the master, tearing the tyres off on his car and tearing his road up, the police come and take the car off you, because it's their car. You don't own nothing. But when you look at read a native title determination, it says that is where true ownership is. The ownership of the land is held under the native's titles. This is real ownership. If we own the land under our law, what do people inside the Commonwealth of Australia actually buy? Do they think they're buying the little house with the little white picket fence and the tree out the front? Or are they just buying a right to occupy a particular piece of earth for a time that is controlled and limited by what the Crown deem is fit, you know, for you to do? They say, oh, freehold, you know, you got a freehold title. It's free to hold. It's not free to hold. If you don't pay the rates, they'll take it off you and put someone else's name on there. So it's not free. You don't own nothing outright. And it's only a right to occupy. That's all a land title is, a right to occupy a certain place for a certain time. No more and no less. So you don't own what the Aboriginal people own, which is the land. The Aboriginal people own the land from the centre of the earth out to space. Out to space. Within, that is their territory. Straight out into space.
Yeah, look, it doesn't matter if the earth was round or flat. You know, bummer still own it. But yeah, you're listening to Black Love Travel Edition right across the planet today. Thanks to the Yidinji Broadcast Service. We'll be back after the break.
In 1788 down Sydney Cove, first boat people land and they say, sorry boys, I gained your loss, we're gonna steal your land. If you break down your British law, for sure, you're gonna hang. Work your life like our combi, with a chain on your neck and hands. And they taught us, whoa, black woman, I shall not steal. Hey, a black man, I shall not steal. Gonna civilize black barbaric life, and we teach you how to move. When she hit, you couldn't hide the genocide, but hypocrisy that was real. Why our Jesus said, technology, hey, you can make a nuclear bomb. Development has increased its size, 3 million megatons. If you think that's progress, I suggest your reason is unsound. You should have found out long ago, you best keep it in the ground. Taught us, whoa, black woman, I shall not steal. I said, hey, black man, thou shalt not steal. Civilize your black barbaric life, and we teach you how to kneel. But your history couldn't hide the genocide. The hypocrisy that was real. While your Jesus said you're supposed to give the oppressed a better deal. Underneath that Indooroopilly bridge, watching that blazing sun go down behind the tall tree, mountain ridge. The land's our heritage and spirit is the rightful culture's flag. We're sitting here just wondering when we're gonna get that land back. They taught us, whoa, black woman, I shall not steal. Said, hey, black man, I shall not steal. Gotta civilize black barbaric lives, and we teach you how to kneel. But your history couldn't hide the genocide, the hypocrisy that was real. Why our Jesus said, supposed to give the oppressed a better deal. See the white man, thou shalt not steal. Oh, yeah, our land, you better heal. You talk of conservation, keep the forest pristine green. Yet in 200 years, your materialism has stripped the forest clean. And a racist contradiction that's understood by none. Mostly that left hand holds a Bible, the right hand holds a gun.
Welcome back. Hey, I know we were talking about the Adani project there before Ganyara, but I found that an article that was very interesting about the Rio Tinto, or what I call the Rio TNT, when they blew up the Juukan Gorge there over in what Australians would call and describe Western Australia. But now it's for those who don't know that there's a sign to say it was a 46,000-year-old heritage site, and that Rio Tinto basically destroyed it. And but now this chief executive has apparently been stripped off almost $5 million, which sounds good and dandy, but at the end of the day, So what?
Will it put the cage back up? You know, will it put those sites back together? Of course it won't. You know, what's 5 million? What are they going to gain out of that place in mineral? Just how much are they really going to gain? $5 million, you know, that'd barely scratch the surface of what they're going to gain. Now that's gone, that area is gone, they can just keep going from here on in. So, yeah, look, this has been a very common practice. Blow it up or destroy it first and then face the consequences later. And I, if I can remember right, that was a sort of a practice that Joe Bjelke-Petersen used to do. Here, we'll knock the building down first, then we'll worry about it later. We'll worry about the fallout later. So $5 million is nothing. That bloke who lost those few coins, I'd like to see his pay packet. Wouldn't it be a ripper? It wouldn't be, you know, $100,000 a year. But once again, it's all about money. Money, 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 more money. We'll destroy the place for a few miserable coins. And what is $5 million? Is it $5 million in gold? Is it $5 million in what? Or in electronic numbers, which are where? What's the value of them? You compare that to the intrinsic value of what that cave was worth, that area was worth. You know, the environment is worth more because it's tangible, it's real, it's touchable, it's there for us. If we destroy it for these electronic imaginary numbers that sit on a computer somewhere, what's the benefit? What's the gain? You see, so we've got to reevaluate what money is or what worth is, more so. We don't need money. Money is a barbaric relic from the past, and it's something that no one should aspire to be collecting big heaps of, you know, when reality is those sort of people like that, I bet you he lives in a city somewhere. I bet you the air that he's breathing in is just as polluted as what the poor people down the park, you know, that are camping out in the park. It's the same air that they breathe. So he's going to be exposed to the same environment as the poor people. He's got to realise that. Money can't save his soul from a bad environment, no matter what you do. You know, we're all going to be exposed to it. So let's have a look at things properly. Let's assess things properly. And in this case there, they should have been looking after those caves. But as it was said, if you are an Aboriginal Australian, you got no right to be talking about those caves. It's got nothing to do with you. Australia is about rape, pillage and plunder. And the only way they can protect those caves is to, well, they should have went back to their original law, the original sovereignty that sits outside that of Australia, that coexists with that of the Crown. And said, okay, we're back and you don't have a mining tenement from us yet to be mining our country. You know, where did we give you the okay to take our iron ore?
Yeah, I think it's any type of a consent process would have had to be internally into the Commonwealth. But look, if we were going to do that and go somewhere and knock a building down that wasn't ours, then you know, there'd be serious ramifications stemming from that. And they wouldn't necessarily be financial penalties. You know, people have gone to prison for far less, for stealing a loaf of bread. They got, they got sent here. So at the end of the day, it looks like it's a PR job for Rio Tinto, in my view, this article. And people will go, oh, yeah, well, that's good. He should have lost $5 million. Yeah, but then you see, oh, well, maybe Rio Tinto is happy with that. Oh, well, it's all gone now. He's going to lose $5 million. But, you know, like I said, that's maybe I'm looking at it the wrong way there. But I think if that was to happen here on the Yidinji territory, I'll tell you what, there'd be a lot more happening than that. You know, people talk about ecocide and all that kind of jazz. Then we'd certainly be approaching it a little bit differently, we would also encourage others that if they wanted needed that sort of assistance, then we'd be happy to talk with them as well. Like I said, it's not about money, but it's about these resources that have been, you know, these are heirlooms. You know, the land is part of the tribe, but it is literally a gift that was created by the Big Spirit, you know. We call him God or Gaibara in Yidden. God is another term that's used. And so as I'm saying, these things are very important to comprehend. But anyway, Look, Inyara, it's a bit of a short program today because we have to head off, but thanks for coming down. And Gabra Galanyunda, wherever you guys are listening to this program, may God's peace be upon you through His only begotten Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. And we'll catch you next week. Garu.
Thanks, Garu.